Thanks, Angela, for reading for us. Good morning, everyone. Good morning, and I hope you enjoyed your extra hour of sleep this morning as well. Welcome to Cross Life Church, and also welcome to those joining us online. My name is Michael. I'm one of the pastors of this church, and I'm going to be speaking from that passage that Angela just read. We are continuing to go through the book of 1 Peter, and the title of the sermon for today is Honour in Exile. We know that the people of 1 Peter's time were feeling like exiles in this world. Today's passage is about honour and shame, and where we as Christians should kind of situate ourselves on that particular spectrum. I'm just going to leave that question there. I'm going to pray for us as we head into God's Word, so please join with me as we pray. Dear Heavenly Father, you are worthy, our Lord and God, to receive all glory and honour and power. Lord, you are the source of honour and the measure of honour. It is by your standards that we judge what is respectable and what is shameful. And Lord, we pray that that may be true for us in our minds and in our hearts. We pray that you may change us to love and esteem what you love and esteem. And Lord, we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Do you ever feel like people are looking down on you? Do you ever feel inadequate? Do you ever feel like a loser or maybe like a fraud? Do you ever worry about what people might be saying about you behind closed doors? Are you afraid that they might use words to describe you like wasted potential or an embarrassment or a failure? Do you maybe feel bad because you don't match up to the world's ideal of what the ideal man should be, or the ideal woman, or the ideal husband, or father, or wife, or mother, or the dutiful son, or the dutiful daughter? Or even maybe you feel like you don't match up to what you feel a Christian should be like. I guess another way of us asking all these questions is, do you ever feel shame? Do you feel shame because of who you are? Our passage today actually speaks to us when we feel acutely the shame of the world. And it's meant to be a reassurance to people who feel shame, because it shows us that when we are with Jesus, we will never be put to shame. And the reason why that is because we are in the place of highest honor. We are in the house of God, which is the most honourable place there is. 1 Peter was written from Peter to a bunch of scattered Christians, exiles in the world, and they would have had every reason to feel shame in the eyes of the world. They were Christians, and being a Christian in those times was not a respectable thing. It was kind of like you were a traitor to your country's values. The Christian beliefs and lifestyle in that Roman society were seen as weird at the very, very best, and downright treasonous at worst. And because of that opposition in values, Christians were being slandered and persecuted for their faith. And so no wonder they felt like exiles in the world. No wonder they felt that shame. But in this passage, Peter reminds them actually of the honor that they have from God. And they have this great honor from God because they are in God's honorable house. We see that in verses 4 to 6. Verse 4, as you come to him, a living stone rejected by men, but in the sight of God, chosen and precious, you yourselves, like living stones, are being built up as a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. For it stands in Scripture, behold, I am laying in Zion a stone, a cornerstone chosen and precious, and whoever believes in him will not be put to shame. If you look at verse 4, it says, as you come to him, the him who we are coming to in verse 4 is Jesus. It kind of links from the previous verse that we read last week. But the first thing we see in our passage for today is that Jesus experienced shame like we do. He was rejected by men. People did not think that Jesus was respectable in his time. Despite his great power and authority and goodness, he was not part of the in crowd. In the world's eyes, Jesus was a failure. Jesus was killed. He was a failed religious leader. He was rejected by men. But in the sight of God, it says here, Jesus was chosen and precious. He was loved by God and valued by God. And this passage seems to be saying that we share that experience of Jesus too. You see, it says that Jesus was a living stone, but then it says that we are like living stones, verse 5. And so even though we might feel rejected by others, we are also chosen and precious to God. We might feel useless and irrelevant, but God has a place for us. He has a position for us. And it says here that the position that God has given us is as metaphorical stones in the house that God is building. God is building a house for him to dwell in. And for some reason, God values us enough to want to dwell in us and dwell with us. God dwells with us by his Holy Spirit. And that building process that we read about here, that is what God is doing right now. As we gather together in Jesus' name, as we come to Jesus, as we engage with Jesus' word, it says here, God is building his house. God is growing his church. We've talked a lot in the last few years about our church building project, about kind of renovating this building. But this passage says that the real church building project is happening right now. People talk about a lot of techniques for church growth, which is basically using worldly means to attract people. But God's people gathering together under his word here is real church growth, because here God is shaping his people by his word to be more like Jesus. He's shaping his people to be a fitting house for God. And because we are God's house, God's promise to us is that if we believe in Jesus, verse 6, we will not be put to shame. And God goes even further in verse 7, the next verse, where it says, the honor is for you who believe. The honor is for us. And so if you feel shamed by the world, then firstly, this passage is saying to you that Jesus knows how that feels like. He was rejected by men, mocked, humiliated, to the point where they killed him. But secondly, also, this passage is saying, look, in God's eyes, you are not a reject. You are precious enough to him that he wants you to be part of his house. He wants to dwell in you. He wants to do something with you, and he is doing something with you as you come to Jesus. And so in God's eyes, we are in the place of highest honor because we are in the house of God himself. Now, that's what this passage says about those who are inside God's house. But our passage says a very, very different thing about those outside. It says that there is honor inside God's house, but there is shame outside of God's house. And so people might say to us, and we might feel them say to us, shame on you. But God actually says, no, shame on them. And we see that in verses 7 to 10. Verse 7 says, so the honor is for you who believe, but for those who do not believe, the stone that the builders rejected has become the cornerstone, and a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense. They stumble because they disobey the word as they were destined to do. But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for his own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Once you were not a people, but now you are God's people. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. You can see here that this passage is really laying on the stone metaphors for Jesus. The first one here says that Jesus was the stone that the builders rejected. It kind of conjures up this image of a builder who's making his house out of stone. And he picks up a stone, but the shape of the stone doesn't really fit with the rest of the stones in the building he's making. So he kind of chucks it out. He rejects it. We don't really do that nowadays. We have bricks that are all the same size, and none of us kind of really build our houses out of stone. So I think the closest experience that I can think of is when you're making something out of Lego and you're digging through all your Lego bits to find the perfect piece. You know, you're looking for that orange 4x2 flat bit. But you're rejecting everything else because it's the wrong color or shape. It doesn't really fit with what it is you're trying to build. And that's what people do with Jesus. Jesus doesn't fit with their lives, and so they reject him. That's what this passage is talking about. And it says there, verse 8, Jesus is a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense. The words stumbling and offense there are actually basically the same thing. The idea is that the news of Jesus, the news that he's taken the wrong things we've done, the news that he has nailed our sins to the cross so that we can be right with God, the news that Jesus is Lord of the universe and that people live their best lives when they are following Jesus. It's basically saying here that it offends people and they reject him. But here's the thing, right? If you're a builder, if you're building a house, you only reject a stone if you have already previously decided that you are the one who is going to build your own house rather than let God build his house. So you only reject a stone if you decide that you are going to be the builder of your life and that God is not going to be the builder of your life. And that's what's happening here, isn't it? But God's people are very, very different. They know that they are not the builder of their lives. They are letting God build their lives for them. And if you let God be the builder, then Jesus isn't someone that you reject. Because when God builds his house, Jesus is the cornerstone. He's the foundation stone that God lays everything on. He is the most important thing. And as Christians, we let God build our lives on Jesus as well. And if we do that, it says here, Jesus makes us, verse 9, a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for his own possession, that we may proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Now, this is a reference to Exodus 19, when God brings his people out of Egypt and he takes them to Mount Sinai. He actually says in Exodus 19 that they will be, for him, a kingdom of priests and a holy nation if they keep his covenant. But that is actually fulfilled in the church today. The covenant has been fulfilled through Jesus. And so Jesus has made us that kingdom of priests and holy nation. What are we to do as priests? Well, the idea here is that priests offer sacrifices. In the Old Testament priests offered animal sacrifices. They sacrificed things like bulls and lambs and birds. But here, our sacrifices to God aren't animals. It says here that our sacrifices are words. We give words that praise God for his goodness to us in saving us through Jesus. Well, we give to God words that praise God for making us his people, his house. We praise God for his mercy because we didn't deserve any of this. We praise God for putting us in this position of honor, even though we have done nothing to earn it. And so you see here that God completely overturns what the world thinks is shameful and honourable. People think that it is shameful to be inside God's house and honourable to be outside it. But with God, it is honourable to be in his house and shameful to be outside it. And this is something that we really need to understand, something that we really need to get right in our hearts, to understand where we are and to understand how good it is that we are here. Because it will affect how we live. If we truly believe that God's house is a place of honor, then we will live with honor, verses 11 to 12. Beloved, I urge you as sojourners and exiles to abstain from the passions of the flesh, which wage war against your soul. Keep your conduct among the Gentiles honorable, so that when they speak against you as evildoers, they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day of visitation. My house, my rules, or your house, your rules, is an undeniable rule of human society. If I come to your house, it is up to you whether I keep my shoes on, and I will ask you, and I will do what you say. It's also up to you whether I can just open up your fridge and take your food without asking, or whether I have to ask you first. It's up to you whether I can pick up your little display items and kind of get my grubby fingerprints on them, or whether I have to leave them alone. It's your house, it's your rules. If we are in God's house, and we consider it an honour to be in God's house, then the lives that we live are going to be honourable too. And that's what it says in verse 12, when it says, keep your conduct among the Gentiles honourable. And then in verse 11, it says, similar thing, abstain from the passions of the flesh. Basically, don't do what your sinful nature wants to do. Live the honourable life that God has called you to. And we've got to be clear, if we do this, if we follow the way that God wants us to live, if we do that, it's going to make us somewhat strange in the eyes of the world. Verse 11 calls us sojourners and exiles in the world. If we belong in God's house, then it only stands to reason that we don't belong here. It means also in verse 12 that the world is going to call us evildoers. You know, whatever good thing that we do, there's always going to be some negative angle that people can spin on it. What we call self-control, they might call repressive. What we call sacrifice, they might call cultish. What we call truth, they might call intolerant. Whatever good things we try and do, there's always a way for others to call them evil. But the reassurance this passage gives, though, is that that won't last forever. If we continue to live the way God wants us to live, there will be a time when people realize that God's way of living was right all along. That will happen when Jesus returns. That is the day that we are living for. People will recognize that. And so for our lives right here, right now, it all just comes down to which house, whose house we think is the more honorable. If we think it's God's house, we will live like him and be sojourners and exiles in the world. But if we think there is more honor and respect to be had from the world, well, we'll try and be like them and not be at home with God. I think one of the things that I've been realizing recently is I have a temptation to have the same sense of humor as the world, to kind of laugh at their jokes and try and make jokes like they do. One of the things I've realized recently is that doesn't work. Part of the reason is probably because I'm just not that funny. But it's also probably because they know I am Christian and they know that I probably shouldn't be making jokes like that. And I think one of the things recently that I found is I found it much more helpful with my friends to not try and be like them and just try and be myself, not try too hard to be funny and to save my sense of humor for being in the church with its jokes about Bible references and stacking chairs and that kind of thing. Christians who live in God's house live by God's rules. They live honorable lives because they are in an honorable house. And they don't do it to judge or condemn the world. They simply do it because it's where they belong, and that's what it means to live with honor. So do you feel shame because of what or who you are? Well, God says to us that if you do, that's not how God sees you. God sees us, he considers us as useful and valuable. We are chosen and precious in God's sight. God has a place for us in his house, which is the greatest place of honor in the universe. We are loved and valued by God. It is those outside God's house who have the shame. And they have the shame because they reject Jesus, because they are just building their own little houses with their lives rather than letting God be the builder of their lives. And if we believe that we are part of this glorious and honorable house, then we will live honorable lives. No matter what the world might say about us, there will be a time when they realize where the true honor lies, when they also recognize the honor of God's house. And that is the day that we are looking forward to and living for. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you promise us that as we come to Jesus, even though he was rejected by men, he was chosen and precious to you. And Lord, we are like that as well. Thank you that we are living stones in your house. Thank you that you love us and value us enough for us to be a part of your dwelling place, so that we might offer spiritual sacrifices to you through your Son, Jesus Christ. Please help us to do that as your priests in this world. Please help us to give words that praise you for all the good things that you have done. Heavenly Father, we pray that we might see as well where true honor lies in this world. We pray that we may know that we are in your honorable house. And we pray that we may recognize the great privilege, the great joy of belonging to your house. And we pray that we may live by your rules while you're in the house. We pray that we may live that kind of honorable life, the kind of life that you esteem. And Lord, we pray that that might be a great witness to the world around us. Lord, we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.